Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
My daddy served.
Assassination of Charlie Kirk, I felt. Charlie was a giant of his generation, a champion of liberty, and an inspiration to millions and millions of people. Our prayers are with his wonderful wife, Erica, and his beautiful children. Fantastic people they are. We miss him greatly, yet I have no doubt that Charlie's voice and the courage he put into the hearts of countless people, especially young people, will live on. I'm pleased to announce that I will soon be awarding Charlie Kirk posthumously the Presidential Medal of Freedom. The date of the ceremony will be announced, and I can only guarantee you one thing, that we will have a very big crowd.
President Trump speaking today, this morning, at a 9/11 memorial service, I believe, at the Pentagon. It's a difficult day, and it's important for us to take time and reflect on what we've lost in this day. And we wanted to give the governor of the state of Missouri the opportunity to join us to talk about the weight of September 11th, 2025, specifically. Governor Mike Kehoe, the governor of the state of Missouri, thank you for being with us today. It's a very, very burdensome day for Americans of all walks of life, and we're glad that you're here with us to talk about it.
Annie, I appreciate you having me on. I returned from a first responder ceremony commemorating 9/11 here in Jefferson City just a few minutes ago. So it's a day that we need to make sure we remember, and obviously fresh off of yesterday's news, it's a tough day for a lot of Americans today.
Yeah, you know, I think about September 11th, my recollection of it as being a 17-year-old at the time, it's like a hate that I didn't know existed. Hatred towards the United States of America, but also the response that a lot of Americans had afterwards. We didn't even really know who our enemy was, but we knew we had one. And I kind of wonder if 24 years later, if it feels like there's this sort of hatred that's taking hold of this country right now. You're in politics. How do you manage this type of moment that we're in?
Well, let me just say that, you know, my wife and I are incredibly saddened by yesterday's political assassination of Charlie Kirk. Political violence, it just tears our nation from its very foundation. And America was built on passionate and peaceful debate and freedom of expression. There's no place for this in our country. And it's not who America is. It's not who Missouri is. And it's interesting that as we talked with firefighters and policemen and EMS providers today, and they asked me where I was, and I was in Detroit at a Ford meeting, and I'll never forget that day. But what I won't forget, Annie, is the country came together like a way nobody ever thought would happen amongst the biggest tragedy we had, certainly on our own soil. In the days, weeks, and months following, you couldn't buy an American flag. The patriotism of Americans was potentially, since maybe Pearl Harbor, at an all-time high. And that's where we need to get to. We're Americans. We're brothers and sisters with each other. There are enemies who are after us. We saw that 24 years ago today. We continue to see evil in the world, but it's certainly not with each other. And if I could get anybody to understand one thing, just because somebody thinks a different way than you do, whether it's religious, which Charlie Kirk, by the way, was an incredible, proud servant of Christ, or it's political, it doesn't necessarily make them a person you have to harm in order to stop, because that doesn't do any good. And it just, you know, continues the problem.
Yeah, certainly. Governor Mike Kehoe speaking with us right now. One thing I was speaking about this a little bit earlier in the show, but you can spend a lot of people who are listening right now. You might have done the same. Hopefully you have the ability to kind of turn it off. I don't. But you can spend so much time on social media, and it just starts to rot your brain to see some of the reactions that are coming out of the tragic event of yesterday. And then you compare it with September 11th. And I want to remind people that we do have a choice as to who we look to in times of tragedy and in times of chaos. And I think it was Mr. Rogers said that look for the helpers. And I think that September 11th is an amazing example of when you look for the helpers, there's so much good to see. And you speaking of being with some first responders today, those helpers are still everyday people who don't get acknowledged, you know, to doing the job that they're doing. In many cases, a lot of these first responders have been demonized in the past, but there are helpers all around us. And I'm sure that you've met a lot of them and you've, you know, greeted a lot of them today and in your time as governor.
Well, and Annie, as you might recall, and I think some of your listeners know, I'm from North City, St. Louis. And, you know, after my dad left when I was a year old, youngest of six, it was the first responder community. It was policemen and firefighters who brought food and clothes and things to our house that we needed. Now, my mother was a proud Irish woman, and she didn't want to take all that. But the reality was it was that community who helped raise myself, my brother, and my sisters. And so I have an incredible amount of respect for those folks and their families who support them. These men and women leave their house every day for their shift, and there's a lot of uncertainty of if they're going to come back. And those families go through that. And so for us to do nothing but honor, it's almost sad that we just kind of take this one day and do it, although we should be doing it today, absolutely. But every day we should be thanking our first responder community and their families to support them. There's no two ways about it.
We're speaking with Governor Mike Kehoe, the 58th governor of the state of Missouri. There have been a lot of, I use the word battles, and it's kind of a semantical way to talk about arguments and political fights that we're having right now. But Missouri has been at the epicenter of the news cycle leading up to this moment in time with the redistricting, with the IP reform. You're leading in this regard from the governor's office. What do you want to say to people who might be looking at Missouri right now with the redistricting? What is the goal here in getting this job done? Is it a reflection of the people of your state?
Well, I think we need to have in Washington, D.C., we need to represent Missouri's values. And as you know, the listeners know, I've traveled the state extensively the last several years, every corner, every county multiple times. And Missouri's values don't represent sometimes the values that we see in Washington, D.C. Certainly the values of Hakeem Jeffries, for instance, do not match Missouri values. And, you know, if you just go back 25 years ago and you take, you know, 10 or 15 counties in southeast Missouri and 15 or 20 counties in northeast Missouri, you could not find a Republican in the courthouse. They were all Democrats. My mother was born and raised a Democrat. Mm. But what my mother would say, and those people in those communities would say, is that the Democrat Party has left them. And now those same counties and courthouses, you can't find a Democrat. It's all Republicans. So Missouri's values align more with the Republican Party, the work that represents the working class, that understand what it means to not penalize success and keep government out of your way. And we wanted the opportunity for Missourians to be able to see what that looked like. Nobody was happy with the maps that were passed in 2022. It became part of a kind of an argument within this building on trying to get those maps passed as we were required by Constitution. But when you see Texas revisiting this and some other states looking at it, we thought it was time to take a look at that.
We're speaking with Governor Mike Kehoe. I wanted to also ask you, there's a lot of national conversation surrounding the usage of the National Guard, the president's offer to send it to places that are wanted. Of course, me living in the state of Illinois, watching Chicago make a mess of a situation that was messy enough as it was. I have a lot of people asking me, Governor, why aren't they coming to St. Louis? It's my understanding that the state has taken over the police force in St. Louis. I might not have the words correct on that framing, but what is your viewpoint from the governor's office on the safety, security, the law enforcement in St. Louis? And is there a scenario where you would want the president's help?
Well, first of all, we want St. Louisans and our visitors to be safe. I know that community, born and raised there, as I mentioned earlier. We want people to be safe. And yes, this year, with the help of two local St. Louis elected officials, Brad Chris from South St. Louis and Nick Shore from St. Charles County, we passed legislation that did multiple things for law enforcement all across the state. But one piece of that was resuming state control of the St. Louis City Police Board. So local citizens that live in St. Louis, that are St. Louisans, are on that board that will work with Chief Tracy. I'm a fan of Chief Tracy. He's done a great job of driving the numbers down since he's been there, since Gabe Gore has come on board. They've made great progress, but we wanted to make sure the police board was not political, and we wanted to be citizen-led. So by letting citizens help Chief Tracy recruit and retain law enforcement officers, build our officers back up, you know, to answer your question, we're 325 officers down in the St. Louis City Police Department. So my first priority would be let's build our officers back up. Let's work with Chief Tracy. Senator Schmidt has done a great job of working with Cash Patel and bringing in extra FBI resources and assets in the form of agents that we can use. We started on our first day of office on January 13th, signing executive order forming Operation Relentless Pursuit, where we're working with U.S. Marshals and Highway Patrol and local law enforcement, such as St. Louis City and St. Louis County, to go out and serve warrants to the worst of the worst. We're making great progress on that. So the president rightfully did a great job in D.C. I've been there many times, and I'm telling you, it wasn't easy to walk those streets. And I'm grateful that he did that. I know the citizens are grateful and the business owners are grateful that he did that. He's looked at a couple other states. I think that St. Louis has things going in the right direction. They have not had a conversation with me. We're obviously always going to keep our options open, but we want to make sure that we put in place what we've been working on the last several months and work to keep St. Louis citizens safe.
Yeah, Governor Kehoe, you know, from my perspective, Donald Trump is offering to go in and help these cities who haven't been willing to help themselves. And the state just this year has already implemented that step before Donald Trump had to do this in some of these other blue areas. So the process is happening here, and that is the benefit of a blue city that is residing in a red state with common sense leadership. Is there a scenario that you could see going forward where you would welcome the president's help to make St. Louis safer faster?
Well, we're always going to welcome the president's help. I mean, I would tell you when the tornado went through, we had multiple storms for about a 60-day period all across Missouri, but specifically in May when it went through in St. Louis. Kristi Noem, the secretary, was called me at 8:10 that morning, and I was at church that night literally praying when Donald Trump called me that afternoon personally just to make sure St. Louis was safe and what he could do to help. So the president has been very helpful to our state and specifically to our storm-damaged areas in southeast Missouri and the St. Louis region. So we always want to continue to look for ways that we can get help, but we also know that the federal government and, quite frankly, the state government doesn't always solve everybody's problems. And so using that local control that we just talked about with that local citizen-led police board with multiple assets that we have in the St. Louis region, we think is something. You're right. We took this into our own hands long before it became a popular talking point on social media.
Certainly, Missouri did. It's always nice to see what the people on the west side of the Mississippi are doing, because they certainly are not on the east side. Governor Kehoe, we are grateful for you. We're grateful for your time on this special day and your words. We really thank you for being here with us.
Well, Annie, two things. First, thank you so much to our first responders and their families. I mean that from my heart. I can't thank them enough. And we as a nation need to get back to what we saw 24 years ago when we were loving and working with each other. And last but not least, we have no wall up on that river. You're free to move into Missouri. We would love to have an extra resident. That's a good common sense conservative. And so let me know if you need a moving van. I'm a Ford dealer. We'll get you a bunch of vehicles and we'll move that stuff overnight.
Man, this is hard to say no to, a diplomatic invitation with transportation. I like it.
Yes, ma'am.
Governor Kehoe, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, bye-bye. I wonder if I threw in Ryan Wiggins in that deal if they'd rescind it. I didn't ask him that. Ugh. No. I can't move my whole family. Can't move land. It's so nice to be able to come here, though. I wish St. Louis would get their act together. I did want to highlight, though, with Governor Kehoe, in the conversation, everybody's asking, I'm asking, well, bring the National Guard to St. Louis. Somebody commented on here, might have been Rick. I think it was like the National Guard in St. Louis might get me back to some Cardinals games. You know, we need two things. We need a safe environment to come into and a competitive baseball team. But if we only had one of those things, I'd take the safe environment to come watch Cardinals baseball in regardless. There has to be a change. And it is true that the state of Missouri did say to the city of St. Louis, you guys aren't cutting it. We need to do something different. We're taking it over, which in essence is what Donald Trump is doing and offering to other places. The state of Missouri had their act together and did so quicker. Now we just need to see the fruits of those labors. And like you said, we need more police officers. why you'd want to be a police officer in St. Louis, I'm not 100% sure, but God bless each and every one of you who do. We are indebted to you. I don't even know if I've, I guess Brad mentioned it in the time check. I don't know if I've mentioned this yet. The YouTube poll for today, would love to have you over at YouTube and participating in the conversation in such a heavy day. Are you more or less likely to be open about your political opinions today? More or less likely. Annie Fry YouTube channel. Go vote. We'll be right back.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.